Today on The Journey.
I want to make a hard but important lesson here. Sin, even forgiven sin, still has consequences.
Sometimes what you break is as important as what you make. With that in focus, today Ron Moore offers biblical advice on destruction and construction so you can build a successful life and legacy. Before that, please note our offer of Ron's book, Journey Through the Bible. Its 371 pages will lead you on a one-year sojourn from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22. Journey Through the Bible is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, King Hezekiah on the Journey.
Take your Bibles and open them to the Old Testament book of 2 Kings chapter 18. As you know, we're involved in a series of sermons called How You Live is What You Leave. And we're studying through the Old Testament kings to see how a single solitary life makes an impact, not only during that generation, but the generations to follow. Today we come to the Old Testament king named Hezekiah, and we're going to learn five lessons from his life. We call them transferable principles. They were real in his life. And as we move through time, these principles are just as real and relevant in our lives today. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 29 years. And here's what happened when he took over in 2 Kings chapter 18. Look at verse 3. Hezekiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places, he smashed the sacred stones, and he cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake that Moses had made, for up to that time, Israel had been burning incense to it. You remember back in the Old Testament in Exodus when Moses takes the people out of slavery in Egypt, and they disobey God, and that plague came upon them, and Moses was told by God to make a bronze snake, and when the people looked on the snake, they were healed, and that snake Moses had made. And now, as we go years past, people are now worshiping the snake. And so Hezekiah has the guts to take the snake that Moses made, and he breaks it to pieces because the people are worshiping it instead of God. That takes some guts, doesn't it? He was a leader. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord, and he did not cease to follow him. He kept the commands that the Lord had given to Moses, and the Lord was with him, and he was successful in whatever he undertook. Everything he did, Hezekiah was successful in doing. Now, it's amazing when we think about that because Hezekiah lived in a difficult time. Hezekiah lived when Assyria started conquering the world. Assyria had just overtaken Israel, the northern kingdom. But here is Hezekiah knowing that the northern kingdom has just been taken over, and he knows that he's next. And so he got to work. The first thing Hezekiah did was to reopen the temple. I say reopen because his father Ahaz had shut the temple. And so Hezekiah says, that's got to change. Hezekiah opened the doors of the temple. It was purified. He got it ready. He cleaned it up. And the people began to go worship at the temple again. The second thing he did, he reinstituted the Passover. The Passover was that time when Egypt had Israel under their thumb for many years in slavery. And under Moses' leadership, they were freed from slavery. And the last plague that God put on Egypt to convince them to let the people of Israel go was the death of the firstborn. You remember that story in the Old Testament? So God told the people, get in your homes, get a sacrifice ready, a lamb, sacrifice the lamb, and then take the blood of the lamb and put it on your doorposts. And so when the angel of death comes over to kill the firstborn, it will pass over the home where it sees the blood of the lamb. That still happens, doesn't it? God's wrath doesn't come on the heart that is covered with the blood of the Lamb. Well, Israel had stopped celebrating that significant event in their history. And so Hezekiah says, man, we got to get that going again. And so he sent a letter throughout the whole kingdom of Israel. He even sent it to the northern kingdom, those who were not taken into captivity. He said, come down and let's worship at the temple. Let's celebrate the Passover. Here's the first lesson we learned, this transferable principle. Spiritual renewal begins when we are willing and ready to do the hard work of breaking past cycles of spiritual weakness. So Hezekiah's dad, Ahaz, had shut things down. He was unfaithful to God. But Hezekiah said, I will not allow something that has happened in my own family. I won't even allow something that's happened with my own dad, even though I was raised in that. I will not allow that as an excuse for my actions today. And so he was willing to break the cycle of spiritual weakness. And that's a great lesson for all of us. None of us can blame our past on our actions today. Does our past impact us today? Yeah. Is it ever an excuse for sin? No. We can break the cycle of sin in our life. If we have a sin that dogs us and that just continues to bring us down, we don't have to live in that cycle. We have the power through the living God to break any cycle of spiritual weakness in our hearts. Hezekiah was leading tremendous reform. And as he was doing that, Assyria was getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And so Hezekiah knew that when an army comes and takes over a city, it puts the city under siege. And that means it cuts off its water supply and its food. Two things you can't live without. So a lot of times you'll read in the Bible that a city was under siege for a year or 2 years or 3 years. Now at that time, the water coming into Jerusalem came from this stream outside the city, this spring called the Gihon Spring, and it was open. Hezekiah knew that the king of Assyria would go down and he would stop that spring and they wouldn't have any water in the city. So he got to work. He built this huge pool in the middle of the city so that no one could mess with it. It was called Hezekiah's pool. By the time we get to the New Testament, it's called the Pool of Siloam. And you remember it where Jesus has some miracles there. Then he built this tunnel. He went out to the Gihon Spring and he told his engineers, here's what we're going to do. We want some of you to start out here by the spring. We want some of you to start by the pool and we want you to meet in the middle. And the engineers had to say, you got to be kidding. 1,800 feet, 6 football fields long. But he got it done. Locked up, covered over the Gihon Spring so the Assyrians couldn't find it. And then that water flowed in to Jerusalem. You see, Hezekiah got things done. It wasn't long before, sure enough, Assyria showed up. 8 years after they took over the northern kingdom, they're coming after the southern kingdom. Hezekiah tries to reason with them. He prepares to fight. He tried to make a deal with them. They broke the deal. And then he prayed. Tremendous prayer. We won't take time to read it. 2 Kings chapter 19. He says, God, you are God and there is no other God but you. And then he said, God, here's our situation. You see it and we need your help. And through the prophet Isaiah, God spoke and said, Hezekiah, don't worry about it. God's going to come through. God's going to make sure that he delivers you. Now, the other thing he does is he prepares the people. Now, you remember, if you're studying the Kings, you can be in 1 Kings, 2 Kings, or the same stories are told in 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles. And so go over to 2 Chronicles. This is an amazing story that reminds us that Hezekiah knew the word of God. Look at verse 6. Assyria is at the gate, so ready to come in. He appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before him in the square of the city gates. And he encouraged them with these words. Verse 7, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Have you heard those words before? Joshua, when Moses had died, the first words God said to Joshua was, Joshua, don't be afraid or discouraged. Be ready. The Lord your God He is with you. And so Hezekiah knew the word of God. And so he uses the word of God to encourage the people. Don't be afraid or discouraged, because the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, for there is greater power with us than there is with him. With him, there's only an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. Speed of the leader, speed of the team. Hezekiah was confident before the people. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. They may have a vast army, and they do have a vast army, but we have God on our side. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters. We trust God no matter what the army looks like. Hezekiah prays to God. God speaks to Isaiah, the great prophet. And Isaiah comes back and says, Hezekiah, don't worry. God's going to take care of the Syrian army. And he did. Without Hezekiah's army even going out, God put to death 185,000 of the Assyrian army. One, it tells you how big it was. And two, how powerful God is. It doesn't matter how big the army is, does it? God took care of them. The Assyrians were so discombobulated, they wake up one day and 185,000 are dead. They left and they went back to Assyria. Great victory. Now, things are going well for Hezekiah. Spiritual renewal, great preparation, God took care of the Assyrians, great victories. Second lesson we learn is he prayed and he prepared. You can't just pray, but you also have to prepare. You have to make sure you're depending on God, and he built the tunnel. He depended on God, and he fortified the city. He depended on God, and he built up his army. And so we have to pray and depend on God, but we also have to prepare. Things are going well. Great spiritual victory. By the way, what often happens after a great spiritual victory? Look at 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah became ill to the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, went to him and said, this is what the Lord says, put your house in order because you're going to die. You're not going to recover. How would you like to hear that? He's 39 years old. Great victory, strong leader. He is the one who stands up and says, I don't care what the army's like outside, God is on our side. And now he hears he's going to die. Look at his reaction. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord. Remember, O Lord, how I walked before you faithfully and wholeheartedly and with the wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. This is not bitterness that he has. He's weeping, but it doesn't mean his heart is bitter. It doesn't mean he's bargaining with God. He's just sad. He's 39 years old. And he's just been told, get your house in order, you're going to die. Now, God can heal us anytime he wants. Sometimes it's in his will not to heal us. In this case, it is his will to heal Hezekiah. Look at verse 4. Isaiah has just gone in and told Hezekiah that he's going to die, and he's walking out. Before Hezekiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says, I have heard your prayer, I've seen your tears, I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my sake, and for the sake of my people, David. Now, the issue is not how many years we have left, or months or days. The issue is, what do we do with the months or days or years that we have left? Assyria was the world power at that time, but the Babylonians were working to take over, to try to conquer the Assyrians. And the Babylonians knew they couldn't do it on their own. And so they had to garner a partnership with other countries. and they wanted a partnership with Hezekiah and his people. So when they heard Hezekiah was sick, they sent representatives with letters and gifts to gain approval of Hezekiah's country. By the time they got there, he was well, right? God had healed him. So look at chapter 20, verse 13. Hezekiah received the messengers and showed them all that was in his storehouse, the silver, the gold, the spices, the fine oil, his armory, and everything found among the treasures. There was nothing in his palace or in his kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. And that's not a good move, is it? Look at verse 14. Isaiah the prophet went to Hezekiah and asked, "What did the men say and where did they come from?" "From a distant land," Hezekiah replied. "They're from Babylon." The prophet said, "Well, what did they see in your palace?" "They saw everything in my palace," Hezekiah said. "There was nothing in my treasures that I didn't show them." Isaiah said, "What in the world have you done?" Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Here's the word of the Lord. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your fathers have stored up until this day going to be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left. And some of your own flesh and blood that will be born to you will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Now you remember when Hezekiah was sick and thought he was going to die, he wept bitterly. How do you think he's going to respond to this? Look at verse 19. "The word of the Lord you have spoken is good," Hezekiah replied, for he thought, "Will there not be peace and security in my lifetime? Not going to impact me. While I'm alive, things are going to be good. But when I'm gone, well, that's fine because I'm not here. At least there's going to be peace in my lifetime." Third lesson, pride is all about the present. When pride has taken over our hearts, the only thing we're going to live for is ourselves and the present. Pride really doesn't care about what happens after us. Pride only cares about how things are going today. Do I have what I want? Do I get my way? Am I willing to make sacrifices today for people tomorrow? Or do I just always have to have what I want? When we're living to make a difference for the future, we're going to make sacrifices. Some of them are going to be tough sacrifices, but that's what God calls us to do. All right. If you're studying the Bible and you run across something that you may not understand as well, what's the best commentary on the Bible? The Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. Trick question, I know. So turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, where the writer of the Chronicles puts the story into context for us. And what he does, he tells us about Hezekiah's greatness and his success, and then he bookends it with Hezekiah's pride. So in verse 27, Hezekiah had very great riches and honor, and he made treasures. He made treasuries for his silver and his gold and for his precious stones and spices and shields of all kinds of valuables. He also made buildings to store the harvest of grain and new wine and oil. He made stalls for all kinds of his cattle and pens for his flocks. He built villages and acquired a great number of flocks and herds, for God had given him great riches. It was Hezekiah who blocked the upper outlet of the Gihon Spring and channeled the water to the west side of the city of David. That's success, isn't it? Everything he did was successful. But the writer says, don't forget. And so on the beginning of that story and on the end of that account, he wants to remind us of his pride. So go back to the beginning. In those days, verse 24, Hezekiah became ill, was to the point of death. He prayed to the Lord who answered him, gave him a miraculous sign. But Hezekiah's heart was proud, and he did not respond to the kindness God had shown him. Therefore, the Lord's wrath was upon him, and on Judah and Jerusalem. And about 100 years after Hezekiah, now the Babylonians are in power, and they come in and do the same thing to Judah, the southern part of the empire, that the Assyrians had done to the northern part. But look at the next verse. In response to that, Hezekiah repented of the pride that was in his heart, as did the people of Jerusalem. And therefore, the Lord's wrath did not come upon them during the days of Hezekiah. Now, I want to make a hard but important lesson here. Lesson number 4. Sin, even forgiven sin, still has consequences. We don't like that one, do we? Hezekiah repented, but the pride in his heart caused God's wrath and some problems to occur. So if you murder someone, God can forgive us, right? But you still go to prison. If you're a lousy husband or father or mother or wife, and 30 years later you say, man, I blew that, will God forgive you? Yeah. And there are going to be consequences with your kids. So here's the thing that I want to drive home in this one. Let's be just as adamant about obedience before we sin as we are about grace and forgiveness after we sin. One more lesson, lesson number 5. Look at the last verse, chapter 32, verse 31. Remember, in the middle, it talks about his success, begins it with pride, and now he ends it with that same story. All he was successful, but when the envoys were sent by the rulers of Babylon to ask him about the miraculous signs that had occurred in the land, God left him to test him and know everything that was in his heart. God doesn't cause us to sin, but sometimes God allows us to go through the test so that he can say to us, hey, how you respond is really what was in your heart. And so we pray as the psalmist prayed, God, search me and make known my heart. Try me and make known my anxious thoughts and see if there's any wicked way in me. Show me what's in my heart, because I want to know it now so I can be obedient rather than having to depend on your grace and forgiveness after the fact.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Have you ever wanted to read through the Bible in 1 year? Do you need an engaging, thought-provoking guide to lead you on that quest? Well, that's found in Ron Moore's travelogue titled Journey Through the Bible. Its 365 devotionals take you on an intimate, personal journey through the major scenes of Scripture. It begins with the creation account in Genesis and ends with an uplifting invitation to walk beside Revelation's river of life. Along the road, you'll experience vistas of wonder, discovery, and hope. But best of all, you'll come to know the God of the Bible in a deeper way. Journey Through the Bible is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
Do we understand that this is God's living word, active and alive, Hebrews says, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrows. God's word judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And don't forget, Ron's devotional book, Journey Through the Bible, is yours for a gift of any amount. You can order it online at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. You know, a beloved picture of relationship, connection, and community is that of sitting around a table and sharing a meal. Sadly, we've lost this sense of belonging in 2020. Now we're sitting apart in different chairs of life. Some are chairs of restlessness or uncertainty or even emptiness. And the only one who can satisfy our longing for connection is the Savior who came into the world to dine with us, Jesus, the one we celebrate this Christmas season. Come, behold him, sit beside him and enjoy a scriptural feast called The Table. It runs through January 3rd at the Bible Chapel in McMurray. Visit BibleChapel.org now to reserve your spot for this uplifting sermon series. BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Also, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.